Radio Prague News.
Security officials say the hacking of a Czech ministry was most likely carried out by another state. The Minister of Finance is promising more money for government departments next year. And the first burčák of the year is now on sale. An attack on the computers of the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs was most likely carried out by another state, according to the National Cyber and Information Security Service. The agency informed the Senate's Committee for Defence and Security of its findings, and on Tuesday, committee members called on the government to ensure that the National Cyber and Information Security Service devoted all the necessary attention and resources to the issue. Deník N reported that a cyber attack on the Czech Foreign Ministry carried out in June was most probably the work of Russia's military intelligence service, the GRU. The news website said this had been confirmed to it by a number of very well-placed sources. The Prague Municipal Court has ordered Tomio Okamura of the Freedom and Direct Democracy Party to apologise over making false claims against a news website. In a Facebook post, Mr. Okamura said that LidacíPest.org was connected financially to the billionaire George Soros. He also called the website fraudulent and referred to its staff as a media cesspool. The Freedom and Direct Democracy chief has appealed the verdict. Mr. Okamura made the Facebook post after LidacíPest wrote in December 2017 that he'd failed to make public the sale of his share in a Prague restaurant. The Minister of Finance, ANO appointee Alena Šilarová, says more money will be available to individual government departments than previously planned. The prognosis for expansion of GDP has improved, while savings have also been made in servicing the state debt, Czech TV reported. Ms. Šilarová says the 2020 state budget could be up to 10 billion crowns higher than previously projected. This will be clear by the end of August, she said. The finance chief has already agreed deals with a number of cabinet colleagues on their ministry's budgets for next year. The Social Democrats, who are the junior party in the coalition, are pushing for more money for certain areas. Trust in President Miloš Zeman remains virtually unchanged from last year, suggests a poll by the STEM agency. In 2018, some 56% of those surveyed said they trusted the head of state. This year, the figure was 57%. The over-60s are more likely to approve of President Zeman, with more than three-thirds of respondents in the poll saying he enjoyed their trust. Among those aged 29 or younger, the figure is 43%. That's a fall from last year. The first burčák of 2019 has gone on sale in South Moravia, the Czech news agency reported on Tuesday. Among those offering the fermented young wine is Miloslav Machuča from Valtice, who began selling it on Friday. Mr. Machuča said this year's grapes were of high quality and in plentiful supply, meaning that 2019 burčák is also good. The appearance of burčák, which is fizzy and can resemble fruit juice, is linked to the beginning of the country's grape harvesting season. Finally, the weather. It should be cloudy with some sunny spells in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to 21 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs could climb up to 30 degrees Celsius at the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, a new index shows which Czech towns and cities offer the best and worst quality of life. The first open prison in the country is reporting a record low rate of recidivism, and we talk to Filip Kobek, the beloved voice of Czech broadcasting in Australia on SBS Radio. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay tuned. A new ranking of the best and worst places to live in the Czech Republic has just been published. The country's major cities and surrounding municipalities generally performed well, while towns in the poorer regions of northwestern Bohemia and northeastern Moravia tend to lie at the bottom of the table. The index primarily aims to provide people with a list of locations that have a high quality of life, while also giving municipalities the means through which to better target their public spending, as Tom McEncrow has been finding out.
The index was created by Obzivdatech, a company which focuses on big data analysis, and the consulting firm Deloitte. They compiled data from government statistics as well as open sources from the internet. More than 200 municipalities were then measured according to UN and OECD methodology. Analysts first selected the top municipality in each category and then compared the others in relation to the one that performed best. Deloitte manager Philip Neterda summarized the regional pattern of the best performing areas.
In terms of regions, it is the two biggest cities in Czech Republic, Prague and Brno, and the surrounding of these big cities. And then we have a sort of a belt stretching from south to north, with Prague in the middle.
When all categories were combined, the central Bohemian town of Hřčany, which lies on the outskirts of Prague, came out on top as the location with the best quality of life, retaining its title based on the same index published last year. Mayor Vladimír Koren was understandably satisfied with the result. However, he stressed that the town is also focused on improving those areas in which Hřčany did not score so well.
I'm of course very happy, but the index is especially important to me as an indicator of where we have to improve. For example, in categories such as transport, accident rates, or the capacity of kindergartens and elementary schools.
Better identifying the relative deficiencies of municipalities is one of the main aims of the index, says Deloitte manager Philip Neterda.
We are sometimes seeing the mismatch of the situation in the region or in the city versus the public investment. So we would be really happy if it could serve for public investment on the basis of a city, or what would be really great if the cities could get more connected, for instance, the cities with similar structural problems, and try to use the data to talk to government or central government in order to get the development support for their cities and for their region.
With property prices rising, the managing partner in Deloitte's advisory services, Pavel Šiška, told the Czech news agency that the index also serves as a guide for people choosing a place to live. However, the influx of new citizens can also be a problem for municipalities, says the mayor of Hřčany, whose town population has grown from 14,000 to 16,500 since he entered office 9 years ago. He says the key to avoiding infrastructural problems caused by overpopulation lies in effective territorial planning.
When the population increase is not regulated, this can have a negative impact on municipal capacities, such as education, transport and sanitation. In Hřčany, we are fighting this and trying to slow it down. Our territorial plan is based around the philosophy that we first have to create the necessary infrastructure and only then give larger developer projects the green light.
Tom McEncrow was speaking there to Philip Neterda of the Deloitte consultancy. The Czech Republic's first open prison, which went into operation nearly 2 years ago, is reporting a record low reoffending rate. So far, some 92 prisoners have served their time in the minimum security facility, and only three of them have been returned behind bars. The reoffending rate at the country's regular prisons reaches up to 70%. Ruth Frankova has the details.
The pilot operation of the open prison in Jitice in the central Bohemian region of Nymburk was launched in October 2017. The purpose of the facility, which resembles a small self-sustainable village, is to prepare the inmates for life outside prison and make their relapse into crime less frequent. The prison has 14 employees and can house up to 36 inmates. Most of the detainees in Jitice have been convicted for less serious criminal offences such as property crime. They stay in the facility without guards, only in the presence of educators and psychologists, and follow a daily routine which is similar to normal life. The inmates alone are responsible for meeting their daily tasks. Hanna Prokopová is in charge of the Jitice prison.
We know that the environment can affect people's personalities. This is why our detainees stay in facilities which resemble civilian houses. But that doesn't mean that they have it easy here. They have to go to work outside the facility, and once they return, they have to participate in various programs. To sum it up, they return from work only to engage in other activities, such as gardening or animal breeding. So it is like a simulator of real life.
Due to its location in central Bohemia, most of the prisoners have a full-time job in the automobile industry in the nearby town of Mladá Boleslav. Apart from facilitating the inmates' reintegration into normal society, the operation of the open prison is also less costly, explains Mrs. Prokopová.
We don't have any hard data available at the moment, but just the fact that we don't have any uniformed and armed guards makes the operation of our prison less expensive. Our detainees go to work and they pay off the costs of their stay in prison. Because we work with them, we expect them to return to work and pay taxes. But, as I said, we don't have any concrete data as of yet.
Over the 2 years of its existence, 13 prisoners had to be transferred from the open prison in Jiřice to a regular jail due to disciplinary reasons, mostly to do with alcohol consumption. The pilot project is being closely monitored by the country's Institute for Criminology and Social Prevention, which is to release its assessment in about a year's time. If the open prison concept proves effective, the facility will be enlarged to house up to 100 inmates, and more such prisons may be built elsewhere in the country.
Ruth Frankova reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature. This week, Ruth Frankova talks to broadcaster Filip Kobek, the voice of Czech for SBS Australia.
Many Czechs in Australia will be familiar with the voice of Filip Kobek. This is because for many years he presented special Czech broadcasting produced by the country's SBS radio, aimed at Czech expats living in the country. Now, more than 40 years after its launch, the service has been discontinued. I met with Mr. Kobek, who has recently returned to the Czech Republic, to discuss the Czech broadcasting as well as the reasons behind its closure.
So SBS was established in 1975 as a special broadcasting service for speakers that didn't speak English that well. So it became the biggest or the largest multi-language broadcasting in the world. In 2016, we had 74 languages. So it's really huge. Now it's just 67 languages. And the Czech program was pretty old among of all of the languages. So it was for the Czech community, which was pretty big at that time. So we had people who came from Czechoslovakia in 1948 and 1968. So these two waves were the largest for the Czech community.
Unfortunately, the Czech program has recently been suspended. What are the reasons behind this decision?
What I know is that the Czech community is not that big now because Australia is growing very fast. It's around 150,000 people a year who are heading to Australia. And another thing is that the English proficiency in the Czech community is pretty good. So there was very little reason to continue the Czech broadcasting. This is the main reason.
So it doesn't mean that the second or third generation of Czech expats would not be interested in news from their parents' or grandparents' homeland?
They probably are, but you have to think about the budgeting and you need to allocate the funds somehow. And there are probably communities that need broadcasting in their language more.
Will there be some sort of replacement of this service for the Czech community?
At this moment, I can't really tell. What I can say is that we have a Slovak program as well. So if people are interested, they can tune the Slovak program and listen to that. But other than that, maybe next census, which is the period when they do so-called review of the radio schedule, so maybe next time it's coming in 3 or 4 years.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the Czech community in Australia? In which towns or cities is it concentrated?
The biggest Czech community is in Sydney. I can't tell you the numbers, but it is in thousands. And the Czech Ministry of State says that we have 30,000 to 40,000 Czech speakers or Czech people in Australia. And the second largest is in Melbourne. But we have more people. We have people in Cairns, in Perth and Adelaide and other cities as well.
And how have you yourself come to live in Australia?
Because I like adventure and I like English, and one day I just thought it would be really nice to go to Australia to improve my English and to learn new skills, so I just went. Yeah.
And how did you actually become a presenter for Czech radio program in Australia?
It's actually a longer story, because when I was at high school, we broadcast a kind of pirate broadcasting called Radio Platypus. It was with my brother, David, who created a transmitter for this. And he's actually a radio person as well. So this was kind of start of my radio career. But I studied journalism, and I also really love camera. I didn't really study any camera, but I worked as a cameraman for Czech television before. And then I went to Australia and I started to work for SBS Czech.
So tell us a little bit more about the Czech program. What kind of topics were the Czech experts living in Australia interested in?
So the main idea was to give people living in Australia information about Australia, about Australian government, Australian law, Australian financial system and so on, in a language that they understand. This was the main idea. So we were broadcasting information about politics, culture, nature. And another thing was news and current affairs from the Czech Republic, because the community was really interested in news from their homeland. So these two were our two main areas of interest.
How frequently was the Czech program broadcast?
When I was there, it was once a week for 1 hour. So we were like one of the smallest programs.
So what did the program look like?
We had news, we had sport, we had an editorial. It was like my own view on current topics. We had current affairs and some commentary from the Czech Republic, like politics or culture or society, and also like our own features, our interviews.
And how many people were there on your team?
We were like three, one regular and some casuals, and we had two commentators from the Czech Republic.
So you were the regular person?
Yes.
Working both as a presenter?
Yeah, presenter and executive producer.
And what do you know about your listeners? Who are the people who are coming to Australia these days?
We had maybe three different groups. Old Czechoslovaks who came to Australia after 1948. Then a lot of people came after 1968, obviously. And then after 1989, when the Iron Curtain went down, when the borders opened, many Czech students and a little bit different type of people were coming to Australia, and some of them, they settled down there. So it's a pretty diverse community with quite old people and also pretty young, like students and workers just for holidays, these kind of people.
You actually interviewed many of those Czechs who settled in Australia and started a new life there. Can you mention at least some of them?
Yeah, there were many stories. Like, for example, the oldest living Australian Olympionik was a Czech or Czechoslovak. He competed in Cortina d'Ampezzo in 1954, if I'm right, and he was doing ski slalom. And in Australia, there is many Czech scientists as well, pretty high-profile scientists, and many Czech artists. For example, one artist of Czech background, she sculpted the Prime Minister's sculpture. So it's pretty interesting.
I imagine that when you went to Australia, you didn't really think about staying for such a long time. What made you stay for 6 years?
That's actually true. I wasn't planning to stay that long. But Australia is a very nice country. It's a lot of things to do there. And I was also planning a big trip, which I did. It was a motorcycle solo trip around Australia. So it took me 3 months and another few months of preparations. So that was like the cherry on top of my Australian cake.
What did you like about Australians and about the Australian way of living? How does it differ from life here in the Czech Republic?
I think Australians are very positive. I think that's like thing number one you notice when you come to Australia. Also, the country is called lucky country because I think they don't have problems with money. They have quite reasonable and fair incomes and they have a lot of sun as well. So the country is really nice and really welcoming. And people also say it's a very rewarding country. So if you work hard, you can have a nice life.
And what are your plans for the future now that you have come back to your home country?
I would like to write a book about Australia and about my motorcycle adventure. And other than that, I would love to stay in touch with Australia.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the motorcycle adventure? How long did you have to prepare for it?
I basically had to just have a outline of the trip. So I knew that it would take me 3 months. And then I had to prepare my motorcycle very well because it's quite hard trip. It's pretty tough, to be honest. So I had to prepare my motorcycle very well. And other than that, not much.
Can you describe the route that you took?
Yeah, I called it Around Uluru Trip, the Coastal Way. It's a joke because there is no coastal way around Uluru other than the whole thing. So I took it counterclockwise from Sydney to Brisbane, to Cairns, to Cape York, which is a very wild area, and then to Darwin, Broome, Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, and back to Sydney, which is, as I said, 3 months and 27,000 kilometers.
So what kind of difficulties have you faced during your journey?
Oh, I had so many. Firstly, troubles with my motorcycle, and then some crocodiles and wild animals, and I hit a emu, this kind of big bird, you know, many difficulties, and ants.
So mostly to do with wildlife.
Wildlife and the tough ride, I would say.
What about people that you met on your
way? I met so nice people, just nice people. Very helpful. I received many beers and hugs.
And so you made it in the end?
I made it, yeah. The bike died one day after I made it, so I couldn't start my bike anymore. So I just made it.
Radio broadcaster Philip Kobeck there, talking to our own Ruth Frankova. And that brings us to the end of our program today. If you tuned in late, not to worry. The full broadcast is on our webpage at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and invite you to follow us there. If you have any questions or comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Meanwhile, thanks for listening to Radio Prague and goodbye for now.